What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Boss Man Show, another March Madness interview. Sun Belt Conference champions, back to back years. Coach Scott Cross, the Boss Man Show, a Detroit Trojans coach. How's it going, man, down there in Troy, Alabama?
It's going good. It's definitely been a great week for the Troy Trojans. Our guys played their best basketball the last, week and a half of the season, and couldn't have come at a better time. And just super thankful to the good Lord to be able to go back to that NCAA tournament.
And coach, you get paid off for your hard work in the regular season because you got the double bye. I talked about that with Coach Smith at TSU about the double bye is very important for them. Only to play two games and go to the Big Dance. So how about that for you guys? Win that regular season title outright so you can get that double bye so you don't have to go that stairway you all have to play all them days in a row.
Yeah, it's in the Sun Belt, it's like five or six byes because, 13 plays 11, 12, and 14, and then you play the next two, the next two, the next two. So, like, the team we played in the championship, Georgia Southern, they were on their sixth game in 6 days. And so we only had to win one game before that. We had a bye all the way to the semifinals. I think it was definitely an advantage for us. But that's why in the Sun Belt, like, every game, it matters. Like, you can't take a game off because if you do – it could end up costing you in the conference tournament. And when you're in a one bid league like we are, and the teams are so even, winning two games is a whole lot easier than winning three games or four or five or six or however many you have to win.
And coach, I know, that's why the effort the Charlie team had to put out there to play that many games in a row. The effort they had to put out there, just if you juke them on the opposite side of it, like how did you and your staff kind of like, wow, look what these guys are doing, kind of amazing considering all things.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to play as fast as possible because we knew they would be tired. From my understanding, they had some guys that required some IVs and were drinking pickle juice and all kinds of stuff to stay hydrated. And, it's tough. My hat goes off to them on being able to accomplish it. They were playing really, really good. They were averaging, I believe, like 85 points in the Sun Belt tournament. We were definitely concerned going into the game. They were, to win that many games, like it's hard to win one game in the Sun Belt Conference, but to reel off five games in the Sun Belt Conference, that's really, really tough. So we knew it was going to be a challenge, but we knew we had to play gritty and tough and defend and rebound. And if we could be physical and set a ton of screens and sprint the floor and not give them any easy buckets, we thought we could overcome it.
No doubt, Coach. I looked at my notes, Coach. We talked on the same day last year. It was a Friday. Same day on March 12th. So, It's funny looking at my notes. We talked about the same day last year, which means you went back to back when the Sun Belt Conference Championship. So talk about that, Coach. What it means to you to go back to back? It's so hard to do, knowing that you're everybody's target every night, knowing they're gunning for you all, and you know the hunter, you're the hunted. So how was that for your team to focus on that all year long and really going down to Florida and get that thing done?
Yeah, I think so. Again, the first time I went was 2008. The next time I went was last year. So I mean, I had that gap of 17 years, like, so that shows you in itself, like, we had some really good teams. We won the league at least two or three times during that. I think it was three times during that span, but we were never able to finish it off in the conference tournament. So you don't take it for granted. I would say after we beat San Diego State and then, had USC beat, I would say every team from that point forward, like, they had us definitely marked on their schedule. And like, some of the celebrations the teams in conference had when they beat us, it was like, you know, they had just beat the conference champion. Like, they were celebrating like it was the championship game. And so I think we did get everybody's best shot. I think that definitely helps prepare you for the tournament because you're going to get somebody's best shot in the conference tournament, and you better be playing your best basketball. So I think it woke our guys up. And, again, I thought we put about as good of a basketball game together as we had played all year long against Georgia Southern in the championship.
And, Coach, you all had some adversity this year, especially after the MAC Sun Belt Challenge, some games that didn't go your way. Talk about how your guys responded to adversity after that challenge and kind of just took the we're going to be everyday guys, go back to the process and kind of go back to square one to make sure that you all did accomplish what you accomplished down in Florida.
Yeah, we have, we played phenomenal in that MAC Challenge. We beat Akron, who, may end up going from the MAC. I mean, I think they're the highest net rated team in the MAC now, especially after Miami of Ohio lost today. But that was that was one of our games that was up there with San Diego State and USC. But then after that, we lost Theo Singh, who, started the majority of the games for us at the center spot. He was a pick and pop guy. He went down with a non-displaced knee fracture. And, now we got to adjust. Gerald Bellamy stepped into that starting role. Him and Theo were kind of split minutes. And then we had to bring a redshirt freshman along, Evan Griffin, who had really, he hadn't played any minutes when the game was on the line. And so now we're throwing him in and he's playing, 10 minutes that are, really, really important minutes. And both those guys stepped up tremendously. I mean, JB ended up being all tournament team in the Sun Belt Conference. And, you can make an argument down the stretch for us. He was as good as any player on our team. And, he gives us that lob threat and is so good on the pick and roll and definitely playing his best basketball right now. But Evan really helped us out defensively. He gave us some toughness, some grit. He's very, very physical for a freshman. He's got great size. And so he's made a lot of progress over these past 3 weeks as well.
Coach, that's very, very important you said for Evan, because a lot of young men get down when they're not playing. But you have to be prepared to play always. You never know when your number will be called, because unfortunately, you and I both know being around basketball, injuries do happen, things happen. We need to call on you. So talk about that young man's resolve to stay ready and really prepare himself and really stay locked in and not just give up because he feel like he got two studs in front of him. He's never going to get on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, with all our guys, we have a player development plan. So even, number 14 and 15 on our roster, they have a plan just like number one or two on our roster. Even guys that aren't on scholarship, like, they all have a player development plan. We start at 7:30 every morning, and 30 minutes is just player development, nothing else. There's no X's and O's. It's just like that's their time. Then we give them like 30 minutes to go get tape, to go hang out in the locker room, whatever they need to do. Then we watch film after that. And then after film, we go straight to the court and we have our regular practice. And then, we encourage them to get with a coach or a GA and get some shots up. And so all along, I'm telling those guys, like, look, Victor Valdez, JB, Theo, Cooper, all those guys were in your position last year. All those guys came off the bench. Now they're starters, they're frontline guys. Like, I know it's not fun. I know it stinks. My son was a redshirt guy last year. But your time's coming. Like, we believe in you. You're here for a reason. Eventually, that's going to be your role. Just focus on getting better every day. That's the only thing you need to do. And I think it helps them. You know, you get outside pressure. Everybody thinks, you know, their kid or their player that was on their AAU team or high school team probably, you know, deserves to play and start. And it's hard, and it's hard on the kids. But I think, you know, we try and just keep blinders on them and focus on just get better today. You know, don't worry about, don't put any pressure on yourself. You know, that'll all take care of itself. And, you know, it was exciting. Like, even like Emmanuel Clarton, who doesn't play a whole lot for us, he was able to get in the last minute of the championship game and he grabbed a big rebound and, you know, be a part of it. And so, and I asked him, I was like, now is it all worthwhile? Now you get to experience the NCAA tournament. And like, honestly, we wouldn't be able to do it without those guys. Like, those guys are on the scout team and they're good. They're challenging our starters. They're making them better. They're simulating the other team every day. And not only are they making us better, they're developing themselves because they're in a situation where there's not a ton of pressure. They can kind of go be themselves and make some mistakes and have fun playing the game and, you know, challenge those frontline guys. And so I think it really does kind of help their development.
No doubt, Coach. I was on scout team for a while, having to play those stage-ready games to really stay. So I'm a testament that stuff really does matter and works. And just always had to be locked in on my assignment. I knew what I was to do, defend and shoot threes and cause havoc.
Hey, back when I played my freshman year, scout team got treated bad. Like, we treat our scout team good, but scout team was whatever drill the starters didn't want to do, they would holler at me and tell me to come in. And then when it was a fun drill or they were scrimmaging, they'd get me out. So, like, at least our guys, you know, they've got a defined role in practice. I know it, you know, at times it's tough, but there's times where they're just – straight offense. There's times where they're just straight defense, but again, no pressure, and they get to develop those skills and try and get better each day.
And Coach, in your time at Troy, five winning seasons, all over 20 wins, and it speaks to the culture you've built there after your first 2 years down in Troy. We're trying to get this thing set the right way. But talk about setting the culture, and when you come into Troy, you know it's about winning. It's a winning culture here. We're trying to win at least 20 games every year and try to be make some noise in this conference tournament, because for what you've done the last 5 years, man, it's very amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I would say you have to even go back to year one. I mean, we had a guy, Nick Stampley, that was about the right stuff. He's a 6'4". You know, we played him at the five at times, played the four a lot, but he was our kind of guy, like, just did all the little things. He got to experience the first 20-win season. It was a little bit probably lesser role than he had the season before, but, like, a big part of it. And just, you know, he bought in 100% with what we were doing. Khalil Waters is another guy that comes to mind that is from Atlanta. You know, same thing. He came from year one and was a part of it in year three. Zay Williams was actually the only player on the roster that was there when I got there and stayed. And, you know, he believed in us and phenomenal player. He's still playing professionally. But, you know, guys like that helped get it going. And then, you know, then you get the next wave of guys. And now you got guys like Thomas Dowd, Carrington Keel, like, that are just amazing leaders, you know, on and off the court. And we just have great, great guys, high character guys that are in the program. And so, like, when you continue to get good guys that are coachable, it's like those older guys just kind of, this is what's expected. This is how we do things. And it, like, makes it easy on the coaches. Like, yeah, we tell them, but, you know, if we just tell them and some of the guys aren't doing it, that's not really going to be effective. But when your guys that are playing the minutes are already doing it, well, the young guys, they got no choice. And then they know that they've got to do that if they want to be in that role, you know, later on. And so it just kind of snowballs. And but, you know, it starts again with having, you know, high level people in your program. And so that's one of the things that we're not going to take an exception on. Like, when we're recruiting a guy, he's got to be a high-level person first. We believe better people make better basketball players. And so, you know, that's definitely one of the criteria when we're looking for players.
And coach, you know, in this day and age, it's hard to find out that why does a young man want to play for you or be a part of something? And now with so many ulterior motives and transactional behavior, because it's part of the game now, but you got to really know what's in that young man's heart. Does he really love basketball? Does he really want to be a part of a team? Or is it about his next move, not where his feet are right now?
Yeah, I mean, like, we don't have the same probably resources as a lot of places in terms of like NIL stuff. We do have some. And so, like, we've chose to just use that and retain our players. You know, but what I would say is, like, if we're trying to get somebody that's hasn't been here, like, just talking on the phone with coaches and you know, people around them, like, you can hear the difference when somebody's really a high level person, the way they talk about them. Like, if they're not, the coach is going to say, oh yeah, he's great to coach. You know, if he is, they're going to say, oh coach, like, he's my favorite dude I've ever coached in my entire career. Like, he's a unit. Like, those are the guys you want to get. And, you know, there's a couple of them on our roster where their coaches talked about them that way. And that's why they're here. Like, that was like the deciding factor. We knew they were right there in terms of being good enough. And then once their coaches, like, you can just hear it in their voices, like, you know, you don't talk about somebody unless they're really about the right things that way.
I got two more for you, coach. Talk about Thomas Dowd again, man. Sunbelt most outstanding player award for the tournament again. I'll play well for you all year long. Let's talk about his development and how he really ignites this thing that you all have going down here at Troy.
Yeah, I've told a lot of people he's on my Mount Rushmore of toughest, most competitive guys I've ever coached. A lot of times when I get nervous or anxious before a game and start, you know, thinking about things, I'll just, you know, tell myself, all right, we got Thomas Dowd on the roster. And you know, that makes me relax a little bit, knowing, like, he's a guy that just refuses to lose. And that competitiveness kind of transcends the team. And so, he's grown as a leader. He's grown. I mean, obviously his skill level is grown, you know, a ton, but he's 6'7", 6'8". He can shoot the three and he rebounds the ball like Dennis Rodman. Like, and he's one of the most coachable guys I've ever been around. I mean, you can't say enough good things about the guy. But yeah, that's how I would describe him. He's Dennis Rodman with a jump shot. Like, who wouldn't want that guy on their team?
Yeah, that's right. And coach, last one for you, coach. I know you got a few days off here, so just to talk about how you kind of keep the guys in rhythm here so they don't lose what they have, but give them some rest as well. But you did part about having it earlier, but how you kind of balance that rest versus rust this time around again for you guys?
Yeah, we played Monday, and then we celebrated Monday night. We drove back from Pensacola on Tuesday, got back, I don't know, like 1 o'clock or somewhere. We gave them the rest of the day off, gave them Wednesday off. We were in the gym at 7:30 this morning, did our regular practice. You know, they did the 30 minutes of development, and then we went, watched film of the championship game, and then we were on the court for about an hour and a half. So, pretty short, intense practice. We'll do the same thing tomorrow, same thing on Saturday. And then Sunday we'll be off again, watch Selection Sunday, figure out who we're playing, and then it'll be prep for whoever we play. But yeah, I think our guys are well rested. They're in a good position. You know, Theo Singh, who got injured, was able to do some things in practice today. So we're hopeful we'll have him back for the NCAA tournament. And right now, it's looking pretty good for that.
Sounds good. Well, Coach Cross, if you win two games, let's got to do this again, man.
Let's do it.
Two rounds. So we got to do it again, Coach.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Coach, be safe, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z. Sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.